good news, everyone!
Time for fun!
It's time for another episode of Blessing of Frost, a World of Warcraft podcast hosted by Magic and Kern.
Hi there, and welcome to episode 10 of Blessing of Frost. My name is Kern, and as usual, I'm here with Magic.
Hello, Kern. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing all right, Magic. How about yourself?
Not too bad here on this wonderful, wonderful Valentine's Day evening.
Yes, exactly. Happy Valentine's Day. I hope you and your girlfriend had a great anniversary.
Yes. Well, sadly, I did not get to see her today because she was off having class and such, but I hung out with her over the weekend. And yes, good times.
Excellent. Glad to hear.
Yes, thank you for the well wishes.
Well, my pleasure. I've met your girlfriend, and God knows she deserves all the encouragement she can get.
Encouragement and probably a purple heart.
Definitely. For being stuck with you for, what is it now, 8 years?
That's 8 years, yes.
8 years, good lord.
Yes.
Well, that the fact that it's Valentine's Day kind of plays into this podcast, not because we have a Valentine's Day theme or anything of the sort, but rather because nobody is really around to be a guest on a podcast on Valentine's Day.
So sad.
What that says about us, I don't really know.
We have each other tonight. On the podcast. That's what it really says.
That is one of the single most horrifying things I've ever, ever heard.
I'm so sorry. And with that sad fact, I guess we'll move on over into our Lore Master segment. What did you have happen this week, Karen? Anything exciting?
Bits and pieces here and there, really. As we all know, 4.0.6 dropped, and you know, with any patch comes some sort of oddity here or there. I have one that I want to talk about later on, but one of the weird things I saw was in Heroic Deadmines on the Foe Reaper fight. It was kind of out of control. I went with the guild. I was on my hunter, so it's not like I was healing or whatever. Didn't really have a lot of responsibility except to pew pew. And I think it was Takari, who's one of our rogues. He called the mechanical thing that you stand in or whatever. And he was, like, constantly overwhelmed by the ads that spawn. And I'm like, well, that's weird. Like, I've done that part of the fight before. It's not that difficult or anything. But, he just kept getting, like, two of them spawning at once. And he couldn't, like, adequately, you know, knock them both back or what have you. So, like, at one point, I'm like, screw this. I'm going to come down there and I'm going to have my bear out and I will off-tank one if I need to. But, of course, on that particular attempt, like our fourth or fifth attempt, everything went swimmingly and everything spawned as per normal. So that was kind of strange.
So that's not like a new change, is that they're not supposed to be two ads. It's only supposed to be one still.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be one at a time, or, you know, at the very least, like, have another spawn just as one is dying or something like that. But it was very weird, because we were definitely getting two. I think maybe even once we got three at a time. It was really ridiculous.
That seems kind of rough to deal with. I know that, I don't know if it's easy with the current, you know, the current way that they were spawned or previously, but two at a time is a few too many.
Yeah, it's just very strange, and none of us really understood what was going on, so
right,
anyway,
patches.
Yeah, it's sort of like a Nyxia deep breathing more, you know, like little things that people assume happen due to the patch or what have you.
Yeah.
I played a very little bit of my mage over on Skywall, and by that I mean like 45 minutes while I chatted with old guildies over in Choice. ChoiceGuild.com, they are recruiting. Go there now.
Yay, ChoiceGuild.com plugs.
Yay! Let's see, I also did a pug Vortex Pinnacle on Kern. I'm not really sure what possessed me to, you know, sit through DPS queue on Kern, but I did. And I got the no static achievement on the end boss of that.
Really?
Yeah.
Seems ridiculous. That's,
well, I know, it's me,
tough,
right?
You know, it's a mixture of you, and I feel like there's a lot of weird hit, like, recognition on that where you're not jumping on time, or you feel like you're jumping on time and it's still getting you. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I just got into the rhythm of it, which is really neat. So I don't fail at jumping. Yay!
Hooray!
And I really think that they nerfed the crap out of that place. Either that or, like, just a little bit of gear makes a huge difference. I mean, we use, like, one form of CC. Like, I told them when I joined the group, you know, if you need anything trapped, just mark it with a square. They didn't mark anything for me. We had one mind control on some pulls. That's it. Even
Did
the pyramid pack.
Oh, nothing on the pyramid pack?
Just the one MC. That was it.
Wow.
Yeah, nice. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And
but you had no issues.
No issues. And these people weren't all that geared, and it was just really weird. So, and that's what I got to do there. Obviously, I also raided. I sat myself out of Magma and Omnitron this week, just because I'm not a fan of the Omnitron fight, and I figure, well, whatever, I've got, you know, seven healers or what have you, apart from me, who need to get in, so I decided to set myself out of those, and unfortunately, this means I missed one of our Shadow Priests, Sirius, getting mangled by Magma.
Yeah, that was phenomenal.
I'm sitting there, like, looking at my raid frames, and I'm like, what the F is going on here? And Sirius is like, yeah, I'm being mangled. And then I think it was Jay who was like, well, yeah, he was on melee. And he's like, I'm ranged. And Jay's like, oh, well, sorry.
How about that? Dispersion.
Yeah, dispersion for the win, guys. Seriously. That's a very interesting way to deal with that, I guess. Yeah, so that was fun. And Dayton happened to be recording that, so that's uploaded at our YouTube channel, and the link will be available at blessingoffrost.com.
Yes, in the show notes.
Yeah. So that was basically my week. Nothing really phenomenal occurred. How about you?
I guess nothing overly exciting for myself either. I did a similar quantity of raiding. I got the Bell of Enraging Resonance off of Atromedes, which is like a house of a trinket, which
that is pretty gross.
A mess of crit and then has a sweet proc, and unfortunately it replaced my Anhur's Hypno, which was giving me a metric ass ton of hit, so I'm back under the cap at around like 16.4%. So I reforged to it, but I'm still there. I don't know. We'll see. It'll come back. It'll just take a little bit longer than I was originally hoping.
Yeah, fair enough.
What else? We got enough shards that I was able to get Power Torrent to my main hand, and it's totally badass.
Nice.
Yeah, it looks awesome. It's probably, well, I guess a lot of the new enchantments have really interesting graphics or whatnot.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be able to tell, given that my computer sucks.
That's so sad. You don't get to see any of them, or...
No, not so much. I mean, I remember getting agility on my my weapons back in, you know, vanilla, and it being this, like, slight, maybe possible haze of green, maybe.
Used to sell, and this is, oh my goodness, this goes back to my, between, I guess, level 20 and 30. This is pre any kind of guild, pre anything. I used to sell colors as, like, the enchants. So I was selling, like, Demon Slaying. And it was, like, enchant your weapon with orange, or enchant your weapon with red. I'll do it for such and such price.
Orange or red.
Yes. And it went purely off the color. I don't quite think that flies anymore, sadly. But when I first started playing, it certainly did.
That actually sold?
Yes, absolutely.
So what do you want? Not like Beast Slaying or Demon Slaying or even, you know,
no.
A Crusader.
You want
no,
red or blue enchant.
Wow.
I want to make my weapon red.
So
nice. Far away are those days of hilariousness. That's too bad.
That
you can't
when you
sell
get a
it anymore.
Player base who actually learns a little bit about the game before they go enchanting stuff.
Yeah, I think I'd be mocked a lot more currently than I was then. In fact, I don't remember a ton of it, unless I was just ignoring it. But I feel anymore you just get mocked mercilessly in trade, which is kind of sad.
Well, nowadays, yeah, for sure. How do I get my weapons to be orange? PSG.
Oh, man, that was pretty funny. And yeah, the Power Torrent is like an orange-red and then switches to it like changes color to purple, and it's a pretty dense coloring. It's really cool looking.
I'm kind of torn on getting that. over Heartsong as a healer, but I definitely have my eye on it because 300 intellect, or is it 500? 500 intellect.
I believe it's 500, yeah.
Yeah, a 500 intellect proc won't really do a whole lot for my healing, but it timed right, it could do a lot for my regen, I think. I don't know.
So. I guess, I don't know. It's only for 12 seconds that you'd be able to get that into your pool. I don't know. You'd have to time it really well. And not to say you couldn't, but Heartsong may just be better.
Yeah, I think it probably would be for overall regen. But, I mean, a Divine Plea only lasts 9 seconds. And if it's within those 12 seconds, then it's as if, like, I'm regening mana as if I still have that 500 extra int.
I guess that's a possibility.
Anyways. Huh.
Something to think about, I guess.
Definitely.
If anyone comes up with some math on that, feel free to email us at... What's our email anymore?
podcast@blessingoffrost.com.
Yes, because that's a really interesting statistic, which may already be out there. And we have
it probably is. But I just know we don't have the shards for it yet.
Yeah. I actually played almost zero priest at all over the past week and weekend, and I played my paladin again for a bit.
Oh.
Yes, and I started tanking because instant queue times are awesome.
And, that they are.
Yeah, and I hit 40 over the weekend, so now I got my plate armor, and that's fun. Thank you. So I had to buy a bunch, and I'm trying to get some drops here and there. And I queued up, and I got Skolo at 40. Shulamance, whatever. But it was a blast from the past. It was a lot of fun.
At 40?
Yeah, at 40. It's so weird. I mean, the instance is pretty much the same. I couldn't think of any recognizable differences, just everything the lower level.
That's kind of... Wow. How long did it take you?
Pretty close to 45 minutes, still. Especially because you pick up all 7 quests right inside the instance, so you still have to clear, like... you know, when you go into the first room and then there's one of the deeds in the back corner and you have to clear through the whole room to get there as opposed to passing it.
So you have
to do that and then killing all the initiates in the viewing room and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that is a lot of quests. Yeah, okay, I see.
Yeah, it's like the same quests that were previously outside there and around the area, but they've just put them all right in. There's four mobs inside or 4 quest givers inside that you just pick up all 7 quests from and then you do them all and hand them right back into the front. It's great.
Crazy.
Yeah. Also at 40, I got the Warhorse, which I guess
the
you
charger.
Previously... Oh, you get the... Oh, I'm sorry. You get the Warhorse or the Charger? Am I saying the same thing?
I'm pretty sure you get the Charger at 40. That's the epic one.
But then what's the 20? Then what one do you
That's
get?
That's the Warhorse.
Oh, okay.
I think.
I'm not sure. I think you have backwards. But,
well, hi, I'm a paladin, okay?
All right,
summon
fine. Then,
charger is my spell that I use to get my horse out.
Fine. So let's say you're right, maybe. So since the speed's the same on both, which one should I use? I've been having the problem with.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'd never thought of that.
Because the first one's kind of classic, but the new one has giant-ass horns, which is totally badass. Or spikes on its head and a bunch of armor.
The armor is pretty cool. I remember mocking some of the pallies in Faded Heroes back in the day because they had the epic one, and it looked like it stank because of all of the wafting, you know, fumes off of it or whatever. Like, obviously, it's supposed to be smoke or steam or something cool, but it looked like... like lines of stank.
Interesting.
So I used to mock people like, like Jersey and David Storm and all that. I was like, dudes, that's like lame because your horses obviously stink.
Wow. And I'm sure you didn't have an epic riding mount.
Oh, I was still playing Kern full time back then.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
And yeah, now it's like I turn my nose up to anything except my charger, so.
Yeah. So I'm trying to decide whether or not to stick with the Warhorse or to move up to the Charger. But it's a fun problem.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I totally forgot that they made it scale by your mount speed rather than, and even for the land mounts rather than anything else. That means that Kern can use like the old school not
cat.
A Frost Saber, but yeah, the old cats. Yeah.
Yeah, I have my original like black horse that Magic used to ride, and it's 100%, and it's totally awesome now because it's hilariously fast.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, this may change everything I ever knew about mounts.
Wow. That's something special to be said about that as well, I guess. All right, well, let's take a long look at our hot fix section. And we had a few hot fixes. And my first question is, it looks like Rhett Pally's their mastery change was a pretty serious buff. It looks like T put out some Terex, a Rhett Pally, and R.A. put out some nasty damage this week.
Yeah, he did. I don't know if that's just because T has always been a great player or what, but he was beastly this week. That wasn't actually like a hotfix or anything. They didn't like do anything to Rhett Pally's apart from 4.0.6, but it appears just from our little sample of Terex.
Of one person.
that it was a great thing that happened with the change of mastery. Basically, it added holy damage to people's, to Rhett Pally's attacks, on certain attacks, and obviously that damage scales with your mastery. So, just judging from, you know, the differences between this week and last, this was a very good fix for the Rhett Pally's, and they should be very pleased with their mastery.
Yeah, it looks like it looks a lot more in-depth or, I don't know, it's a lot cooler than it was previously.
I agree. Like a free extra attack every so often, basically, which they still have through talents, wasn't all that compelling as a mastery, but it's like super awesome to have extra damage based on your mastery and based on the damage you're already putting out.
Yeah. It's like something you can master as opposed to, you know, mastering an extra hit. Sounds kind of
Cool. I mean, it's like a proc, right? This is something that you actually have a choice in.
Exactly. Anything else? Any other actual hot fixes?
Yeah, there's a few things that are kind of significant. The first thing is that they realized that they way overbuffed Shadow Priests.
Yeah, so. I remember the first raid after. Did they nerf them a bit?
Oh, yeah.
Then? Okay, because I remember the first raid after that Sirius was completely out of control.
Yeah, which is probably how he managed to get aggro on Magma and get mangled.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what they did was they took their Shadow Mastery, it's their passive, their increased Shadow Damage, which is 25%, and they nerfed that down to 15%.
Ooh, that is
pretty horrifying.
Still
doing really well, but yeah, that's a pretty significant nerf right there. And Fury Warriors, they also got nerfed. I think it's called Raging Blows, got nerfed from 120% weapon damage down to 100%. That's apparently a sad panda thing. But I wouldn't know because I don't play a Fury Warrior.
Yes, and neither do I. I don't play any Warriors.
Then there was a really significant nerf and un-nerf, if you will. It's not even a nerf and then a buff. It's a nerf and then a reversion of the nerf. What they did to Holy Pallies is... basically, we have this spell called Light of Dawn, which glyphed will hit 6 targets in your raid group, and all of that healing will be split in half and transfer into your beacon.
Split in half. Is there a reason it's split in half, or that's just...
Yeah. For example, if I heal 6 people for 5,000 each, that's 30,000 healing. And then, so it'll heal them for the 30,000. And then before it transfers to my beacon, the beacon will slice that amount in half.
Okay.
By virtue of just, you know, how Beacon of Light works.
Beacon works, yes.
So then, you know, so healing people for 30k in front of me, and then, you know, having that and making it a 15k heal to the tank was a pretty... I don't necessarily want to say effective, although it was, but a pretty common use of Light of Dawn. Basically, you would use Light of Dawn, which is our 31-point talent, as a tank heal. You wouldn't really use it to heal the raid. You would just use it for the tank heal, because you would get more effective healing out of that than you would out of our single-target Holy Power heal called Word of Glory. Mm-hmm. So what they did was they did something on Friday with the release of 4.0.6a, which rendered that Well, basically, they broke that. Like, no longer would beacon trigger from Light of Dawn.
Like, not at all?
At all. I mean,
wow.
You could beacon your light. You could beacon anybody and then, like, throw out Light of Dawn on anybody and it just wouldn't transfer at all.
Huh.
So, naturally, several Holy Paladins were rather pissed. Papa Paint, who does some videos for, I believe it's Tank Spot, was like, if they don't revert this, I don't even know what I'm going to do anymore. And I was pretty annoyed. I don't tend to do the whole heal the raid and then, you know, let the tank benefit through my beacon. I, like, focus on the tank and occasionally help out the raid with Light of Dawn. So it didn't really affect me terribly much. But, like, it just showed me that Blizzard clearly has no idea what the hell they're doing with values. So this went into effect, was in the mini patch notes and everything, and, you know, there's all kinds of Holy Pallies going, what the hell, I'm going to spec out of Light of Dawn, and, you know, all these people really pissed. And I'm like, you know, I'm not so pissed that they did that, I'm pissed that they clearly don't have an idea of what they're doing. Because not 2 months ago, Nethera had come onto the forums and been like, no, Light of Dawn transferring through to Beacon is intended. And we're like, sweet, thanks for the clarification, Neth. We really appreciate it. And now it's like, no, wrong.
I was lying.
Exactly. So without so much as a blue post, all of a sudden it gets unnerfed. And suddenly it's working again. And I'm like, what the frilly heck is going on here? Like, people are reporting on Elitist Jerks, on Twitter, that it's working all of a sudden. And I was like, well, that's weird because it wasn't working for me. So, lo and behold, like 2 hours later, it's working for me. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Turns out that there was another bug that they were trying to iron out. And the overall effect of trying to fix that bug was that Light of Dawn no longer transferred through Beacon. And they said that that wasn't intended. And they said that because that wasn't intended, they have reverted that fix. So the bug that they were trying to fix still exists, but Light of Dawn will still transfer through Beacon. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess that's fine. So the bug that they were trying to fix, and this isn't confirmed, is that Light of Dawn isn't capped. Like, there's no limit cap on people who aren't in your raid group. So you can beacon somebody in your raid group. And, you know, aim your Light of Dawn at a big group of people and mash your Light of Dawn button and all of that healing will get halved and slapped onto your beacon. And, like, you'll obviously heal those people for, like, 6k each or what have you. And it's really strange. And, like, I've noticed that myself, like, when just testing outside of a raid group. Apart from Tol Barad, there's not really a place where you're going to need to use that, because in Tol Barad you can have more than one raid group going on at the same time, but you can't have like drop your raid group in a raid you could.
Well, that's
but
what
as
I'm,
soon
I'm
as you drop,
to ask.
No, but as soon as you drop, your beacon falls off.
Can you reapply it? But you can't reapply it to the tank, or you can't.
You can't. It needs to be somebody in your party. I mean, you could do it to yourself, I guess, but that would be kind of pointless.
Huh. I was just thinking about that. If you could drop raid for a second or two to do that and then get an invite back.
No, because as soon as you get pulled back into the raid group in order to reapply your beacon, then your Light of Dawn is capped again.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, you'd Light of Dawn and then pop back in. But it's... If the beacon's falling off, that doesn't make a difference. Plus, you'd lose all your hour-long buffs for doing that, wouldn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, you absolutely would. I mean, there's really no way to make use of that in PvE content. The only time I could see it happening is in, like, Wintergrasp or Tol Barad, where you have, like, you know, more than one raid group going on.
Yeah, I guess so. You could drop group, invite the tank to your group, beacon them, and then heal the rest of the raid.
But the tank would also lose all their hour-long buffs.
Yeah, that's really bad for a tank. I guess this
yeah,
is
fort
just
and all that stuff, yeah.
Unlikely to be able to be abused. I mean, it would pretty much be as close to cheating as you could come anyway. Probably.
You know what, though? Yeah.
Not part of the encounter is dropping your group and picking it back up again.
Yeah, I think that they've done a lot of work to try to make sure that everybody stays in their group and stays like in their raid throughout encounters. Like, unlike the old days in BC when Day would like literally just snag every heroism in the raid and pop it continuously for the melee group. That was awesome. I don't think I got heroism more than like 3 times all through BC. So they had that going, and then they reverted the change, and so we're back to where we were last week. But I gotta say that I'm still not happy with where Holy Pallies are. I still don't think that they understand what's fun, what's useful, what's like how we prefer to play. I don't like, using Light of Dawn as a tank heal. I don't like using I don't like this passive talent we have called Protector of the Innocent that transfers. I honestly think that right now Beacon and Light of Dawn are both so very broken that the entire Holy Pally tree should totally be redone. And it's really upsetting that they're not, actually taking it under advisement to tweak us. Like, I thought that maybe the changing of the how Beacon procs from Light of Dawn was intended and was a way for them to sort of, work towards fixing some of the problems in the Pally tree. But no.
Nope, not yet, as it would seem.
Pretty unfortunate.
Well, maybe in due time.
Well, that brings us into our slash raid segment. I am sad to report that we did not down council last Monday after
Ugh.
recording the podcast.
Not a great council evening, if I remember correctly.
That was pretty much one of the worst raid nights we've had thus far.
Yeah,
Pretty bad.
definitely.
We had like chain disconnects. We had people with huge latency. We had people with headaches and weren't feeling well and all that. And I do take people at their word for that, although I understand that some people's motivation may not have been there.
It was just a frustrating night. That was rough.
It was pretty bad. So we called it an hour early, and I really should remember that it was like an optional raid night, basically, because normally we don't raid on Mondays. So I should really have been like, okay, we got 2 hours that we wouldn't have normally gotten due to the Super Bowl, so we should be happy with that. I wasn't terribly happy with that. We got a bit of work done, and that was okay. And then, we basically we moved in from that subpar raid night into what was probably the best raid night we've had thus
Yeah,
far.
definitely.
On the Tuesday, we went in and went 5 of 6 in Blackwing Descent. We one-shot Atromedes, which we hadn't done yet, and then we still had enough time to go over to Bastion and down Helphys. We had been thinking about extending the lockout to get right back to council,
But
but
forget it.
yeah, I know. We were like totally ahead of schedule. So we went 5 of 6 in Blackwing and then 1 of 4 in Bastion. We finished at like 11:55. It was a really good night. So that was great. And then that gave us Thursday to do Valiant and Thorallian, which went really well. A one shot faster than like we'd ever done
By
before.
like a minute or more. It was insane.
And it's amazing what dropping a healer for a DPS will do once you're confident in, the mechanics and that people are gonna not stand in bad things and such.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. And then we got a chance to play around with the council, and it went fantastically. We pushed into phase 3 a couple of times. One of our best attempts, we got in there, and it was a really bad phase switch on from 2 until 3. Like, one of the adds was way ahead on health than the other one. And we still made a really good showing in phase 3, so we just really need to clean up the transition. And that's exactly what we did. We went in with 2 beautiful transitions from 1 to 2 and 2 to
Yeah.
3, and then we got it down. It was beautiful.
That was a very good night. I mean, how many wipes did we even have on them? Probably a couple. I just don't even remember that many because the attempts, while they were wipes, they got progressively better every time, and it's such a good feeling once you're actually making percentages, work out.
Yeah, for sure. We really didn't spend too much time on them at all. And enough that we went in and played with Cho'Gall for a bit. Once we got the council down, we got I think 7 pulls on Cho'Gall and got him under 50%. I think it was 49, 48, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So that was great. And then we had all of Sunday to work on him. And you know, unfortunately, our tank Dayton kept DCing on Cho'Gall on Sunday, which was really unfortunate. But Merc, one of our Death Knights, who's got a pretty solid tank off spec and gear, decided to help us out, which was great. And we got Cho'Gall to 12%, which is kind of fantastic, I think.
Oh, definitely. Again, that's one of the other things where it was not all that good looking at the beginning, and by the end it was consistently getting to phase two, so...
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with that.
I definitely need a lot of work on phase two, and people, including myself, really need to not stand in the Shadow Crash thing, the Corrupting Crash. My computer is so crappy that I really couldn't see it like at all for the first several attempts. We pulled 16 times on Cho'Gall last night, and I eventually had to turn out my graphics just a hair and take like a 2-frame-per-second hit on my my frame rate.
Going to do what, -1 or?
Yeah, basically. So I was stuttering a little bit more than usual, but I was at least able to see the Shadow Crash or Corrupting Crash and know to get the hell out of it. But I'm pretty confident that once we get that done, we'll be done with Cho'Gall. And so we are looking to extend our lockout on Tuesday and looking forward to like stepping back in and just, you know, handing Cho'Gall his ass and then, you know, having cleared Bastion, which will be a welcome relief, I think.
Then to Nefarian.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So things are going nicely. We also added a couple new people to the roster. We welcomed Seanel, a Frost Death Knight, and Fidget, a mage, to initiate rank in the guild. And Trailis, Hunter, who, you know, joined us a while back, he had to take some time away from the game, but he's back now, and he got his first couple raids in. And Cronus, another Hunter, has had horrible computer issues, but he's finally got his computer back from HP, and looks like we've got all of our Hunter spots accounted for and everything, so that's pretty awesome. And yeah, that's pretty much what happened this week in Apotheosis.
Yes, good times. I guess with that, we'll move on over to our non-existent guild tab, because, again, the Valentine's Day issue of finding guests. Oh, well.
Yeah.
So much for that.
Moving on.
And with that, we'll move into general chat.
Hooray!
And, yeah. So our general chat this week is about guild-related perks, and not just the perks, because that's, I guess, an official guild term, but just the positives to being in a guild and staying in that guild, because a lot of you actually have to level rep with a guild now.
Horrible.
Yeah, pretty terrible, because there is it a weekly or it's a daily? It's a weekly cap, correct?
It's a weekly cap.
So you can earn a certain amount of weekly rep with your own guild.
Kind of sucks, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's talk about something that everybody is going to, you know, go through in their guild, the life of their guild. Well, hopefully.
Yeah,
from level 1 all the way to level 25.
Yes. The guild experience and your guild leveling, as opposed to anything having to do on a personal level, I guess. Your guild experience goes up through a few different ways. Completing quests/daily quests that reward experience. Killing any dungeon/raid boss with a guild group or raid. And winning a raided battleground with a guild group or raid. And guild groups are defined as...
They've changed those numbers. In the patch, you're now a guild group if you've got 3 people in a random.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but you'll gain things at less speed, and then 4 people will gain it at 100% speed, and 5 people it's like 125 speed or something.
Interesting. That's kind of cool, I guess. I know previously it was just straight up 4 out of 5 in order to get anything, but
Yeah, I think that the raid boss kills are still 8 of 10 or 20 of 25.
Okay, well that's, I think that's a good thing, keeping those numbers higher, make sure that it retains that sort of the feeling that the guild needs to be there to kill it in order to let the guild earn the experience.
I agree. I agree.
There are a lot of really, really good perks. In fact, almost every perk that you get leveling up your guild is pretty solid.
Yeah,
And
there's a couple things that are sort of meh, then there are some things that are really awesome.
yeah, so there's really good reason. There's a cap per a daily cap on guild rep, I believe, of 60. I know at the lower level it's like 6,200 or 6,200 or something like that.
Yeah, there's a cap, and it's not on rep, it's on XP, but there is a daily cap of, like, I think it's 6.2 million XP for every level up until level 23, at which point the daily cap is removed.
It's unfortunately goes to 25 at that point anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so but I guess there's it's so much more XP between levels at that point that it you need the extra whatever you can get.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I keep mixing up the XP versus rep. I'll have to hammer that into my head right now. So we'll run through them pretty quick just because I think a lot of them deserve talking about. The first one being Fast Track, which increases your experience by 5%. That's the first guild level you can get, and that's pretty solid.
Yeah, that's at level 2, and you get that extra XP from killing monsters and completing quests. So, like, I don't know if going to the BGs and screwing around in there and leveling actually counts.
I guess not from what this says, at least.
Yeah, so I mean, like, if you go out and grind, or if you go out and do instances, or if you go do quests, you should get that bonus.
Yeah, and that is a rank one of that because again at where is
Six.
it ranks yeah at level 6 you get it at 10%.
Yeah, which is disgusting. It makes leveling alts so much easier.
Yes, level 3 mount up 10% increased mounted speed doesn't work in battlegrounds or arenas. It's pretty straightforward.
That's fine. I'm a Pally. I have Crusader Aura. It is amazing.
Yeah, Mr. Popularity at 4, reputation gain from killing monsters and completing quests increased by 5%.
Yeah, and there's another rank of that over at level 12, which will give you the 10%.
Yeah, so you get to be human no matter what you are at that
Yeah,
point.
and then humans just get to be Uber.
Completely OP, as they have been in every expansion already.
Every expansion since BC.
Yeah, that's humans are completely insane. Guild level 5, cash flow. Every time you loot money from an enemy, an extra 5% is generated and deposited directly into your guild bank, which has a rank 2 at
16. That's our next
16.
rank, actually. We're at 15 right now.
Oh, look at that. So at 16 it does 10%. That is one of the more interesting ones that I've seen on this whole list, just because it's sort of something I guess I wouldn't have even ever been able to think about or, have even considered. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who are like, well, why is my gold going into the guild bank? Like when they loot stuff, when we first hit level 5, and I've seen a lot of people complaining and, just not understanding how it works. It's not your money that is being looted. It is extra money that is generated and then donated to the guild bank.
Yes.
And they used to have the list, at least on beta, of like who is depositing how much, but they've since gotten rid of that because there's so many entries. Because literally every mob you loot, bam, 10% or 5% or 10% extra into the guild bank. We're talking like nothing, like even the insignificant stuff, like 2 copper, like something will be donated. It'll even it all out.
Yeah,
It's kind of crazy.
it's kind of interesting because you feel like it's creating this money out of nowhere. It's kind of like, the US Fed just printing more money. They're just creating this money, and you figure maybe it would cause some sort of inflation, but even though 10% is, I guess a decent chunk, it's not enough to affect the fact that like 90% of everyone's gold goes to repairs anyway.
That's very true.
So it pretty much takes that money right back out of circulation.
Yep.
Alright, what else we had? Fast track. Reinforce. Items take 10% less durability loss when you die.
This does not, contrary to popular belief, mean that you take no durability damage when you die. No, no.
Yeah, that's
you, instead of taking 10% durability damage, you now take 9% durability damage.
You take 10% of 10%.
Yeah.
10% less of 10%.
Yes, so you're taking 9%.
Yes, and there's that's a rank one. There's a second rank down at...
level 9.
9, yeah. So it's 20%. Hasty Hearth at level 8, which reduces the cooldown on your Hearthstone by 15 minutes. It's
my favorite.
Really?
Hands down, my favorite. I mean, others are useful thus far, but this is the most practical thing ever. I'm not a mage. I was going to say,
maybe that's why I think it's so mediocre.
I can't port from city to city to city. I was over on Pradmore the other day hanging out with my real life friend, the Rester Druid, and we were playing around a little bit, just chatting, and I'm like bouncing all around trying to like get my quest hubs open and everything. And at one point, I tried a hearth, and I'm like, crap, I still have like 12 minutes left. What the hell? I just hearthed like a minute ago. I just hearthed like 15 minutes ago or so. And then it dawned on me that the guild that I'm in on that server is not yet level 8.
Level 8. Yeah.
So I have the full 30 minutes. I'm like, son of a...
That is unfortunate.
Yeah.
The little things that you did just take advantage of once you have and you never think about it again. It's a reason to keep those, maybe some of those ungilded alts you'd actually want to have in the guild just for some of these perks.
Absolutely.
For a lot of these perks. Guild rank 9, reinforced rank 2, guild level 10, Chug-a-Lug. The duration of buffs from all guild cauldrons and feasts is increased by 50%.
That's kind of awesome. That means that guild cauldrons, which you can open up by making flasks, I think it's 1,000 of them you have to do for the first rank. Basically, you now can have it last, I think it's, what is it, an hour and a half or 2 hours? Something like that. Instead of like lasting 1 hour or 45 minutes or something.
I think it's an hour and a half if it's going to be 50% more than an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. So instead of lasting 1 hour for a flask of battle, it'll last an hour and a half, which is nice.
It says feast is increased by 50%. Have our feast been increased by 50%?
I guess.
I have no idea. I mean, were we raiding before rank 10? I believe we were.
Yeah, I think we were.
I don't think that it does give feast. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm just totally not noticing it.
Yeah, that could be it. I mean, if it says 60 minutes, that's one thing. But if it says, like, 1 hour, maybe we're getting, like, an hour and a half. Because it's not going to show 90 minutes for whatever reason.
Hmm.
And, like, we're not using cauldrons right now. So we haven't really seen the hour and a half duration on that.
True. All right. Well, I guess that deserves some further delving into.
Definitely.
Level 11, mobile banking, which allows you to summon a guild chest that allows access to your guild bank for 5 minutes.
That's pretty cool.
Yes, only guild members with the guild faction of friendly and above are allowed to use a guild chest, which I guess we'll get into that in a little bit, but, it's, again, not something I've used all that often.
But, I mean, it's handy. I mean, like, say I forget, as I am prone to doing, I forget to make feasts. Before heading all the way out to the raid instance, bam, summon your guild bank and, you know, withdraw the, you know, from the guild bank tabs and, you know, make the feast right there.
That's true. I mean, there's no negatives to it. It's just, I guess I felt it could have been a little bit more strong if it were, like, not just your guild bank, but your personal bank, but then I guess it wouldn't be a guild-related achievement. I don't know. It's certainly interesting. And it's an active perk, you know, less than a lot of these are passive.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It is kind of cool. Level 12, Mr. Popularity, reputation gained.
Oh, by 10%, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. reputation gained from killing mobs completing quests. So why does it say rank 1?
Yeah,
no, that's just a typo.
Yeah. Okay.
It was the next one I was thinking. I saw an honorable mention at rank, or at level 13, increases honor points gained by 5%. I was surprised to see this so far down the list.
Yeah, I don't even know how hard it is to get honor these days, or conquest points, because I don't really PvP. So, I mean, have you noticed that 5%? Like, has that been something that you've noticed over the last couple weeks? Because we've obviously had that for a couple weeks now.
Not a ton, and it is only honor, because conquest is not... honor points and conquest points are two very different kinds, so it doesn't even give that bonus. So, not sure. That's actually a rank 1, and rank 2 is down at guild level 19, so I think by the time you're at 10%, you're probably seeing a pretty significant difference, but 5 may be negligible. I'm not sure.
Fair enough.
I do PvP, but I don't do it enough that I would be able to actively notice the 5 or maybe even a 10% difference.
Alright.
Level 14, working overtime, increases the chance to gain a skill increase on trade skills by 10%. Invaluable.
That would have been so awesome, leveling leatherworking from 500 to 510, I gotta say.
Yeah, that's unfortunate that that's, again, all the way down at rank 14 because so many people are power leveling. I mean, that's probably part of the reason that it is so far down, is that you can't use it to power level as soon as the expansion comes out, or even a week or two after. Guild level 15, the Quick and the Dead, which is probably
hilarious.
My favorite that I've seen so far, at least, is increases health and mana gained when resurrected by a guild member by 50%, and increases movement speed while dead by 100%. Does not function in combat or while in a battleground or arena. You run
so fast.
It is so funny.
Yeah, we just got this on Tuesday after killing Omnitron 3 weeks in a row now. I can't believe that we've dinged.
I don't know.
After killing Omnitron. The wipes, it's just a little bit faster to get back to full health, to, you know, come back in and, you know, run back for your body and all that. It's just a little bit faster. It, from a raid perspective, it's nice, and I can imagine it's also nice if you're, you know, wiping, if you're wiping on a random pug run or whatever, you get there, like, quickly.
Exactly. It is, it's, actually, does it work when you're flying as well? Because I did not notice
that. I think
so. I think it does. When it first happened, I didn't notice the speed on it, but other people were like, wow, I'm flying so fast, and I was like, I don't know. I guess that's
correct. When I was flying into Blackwing Descent on Tuesday, I noticed that.
Guild level 16, cash flow number 2, that's 10% to
looking
your guild
forward to that.
Yeah. Guild level 17, and Gmail.
Can't
in-game
wait for that.
Mail sent between guild members now arrives instantly.
How awesome is that? Like, do you remember the days when in-game mail was instant?
Yes, but it's been so long with the new setup that it's just like, I haven't thought about it in so long.
Yeah, it's like, well, it'll be there in an hour, and I mean, it wasn't always like that. It used to be. I'm pretty sure that the reason they instigated that was because of auction house stuff and gold selling and all that jazz. But I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah. Guild level 18 for Great Justice increases justice points gained by 10%.
I think that is a really good perk to have really low down. Because, I mean, level 18, we're not there yet. And, you know, we've been hitting the cap, I think, just about every single day.
I believe it's been every day,
which
as far as I've noticed.
Which is kind of nuts. Really, I think it makes sense to be so far down on the list because, you know, at this point, a mature guild doesn't really need justice points that much. We need the valor points.
Right.
So this is really, you know, a quality of life thing for your alts.
Yeah, so being able to grind out those guild levels on your main tune and then pass along the positives to the alts are pretty phenomenal. Again, that with working overtime and even cash flow, because you're going to be looting a lot while you're questing, all things that maybe not helpful by the time you're getting them, but for anyone else that's leveling up in your guild, even yourself, it's super helpful.
Yeah, agreed.
Guild level 19, honorable mention, 10% to honor. Guild level 20, happy hour, increases the number of flasks gained from using a flask cauldron by 50%.
Yeah, so instead of like 17 flasks, you're going to get 25-ish flasks, I believe. Or I think that they've tweaked the numbers a little bit. You might even get like 30 flasks at this point. But yeah, it you know, anyone who's using the guild cauldrons is really going to benefit from that. And hopefully, by the time we get the big cauldron of battle and have happy hour, which we're still a ways away from on both fronts, like we'll actually be able to start, you know, giving out these flasks of battle to people in our guild.
Yeah, that'll be a nice load off everyone. I mean, cutting down on raid expenses is always a good thing, and it keeps everyone a lot happier.
Absolutely.
Guild level 21, have group will travel.
This is
another
sick.
One of the active ones. Summons all raid or party members to the caster's current location.
This is disgusting. I actually had the opportunity to use this on beta because they really pumped up the rate at which you level your guild for testing purposes. So I'm like standing there in heroic deadmines, and we all wipe at some point, and we're like on our way to the boat, and like we're running back to the boat, but one person had like managed to stay, like they reincarnated or something. It was a chamois, and so they used that. Bam! We all showed up at the boat. Huh. Like we skipped the entire run back. It was fantastic.
That seems awesome.
Yeah.
That wow, that's really cool, and especially there's, if like, you're trying cool to summon on, summon people to your raid.
Yeah,
well, it's
there's
a
like
cooldown.
A 2-hour cooldown, but like it's, I don't believe it goes on cooldown for everybody in the guild.
No, I would doubt that. So yeah. You could cast it more than once. I like it, and it's I think it's a pretty good pre-raid thing.
Yeah.
Guild level 22, Chug-a-Lug, buff duration 100%. That's a rank 2. Guild rank 23, Bountiful Bags, increases the increases the quantity of materials gained from mining, scanning, herbalism, and disenchanting.
How another, hacks is that?
It's another good farming slash alt,
passive bonus?
Yeah, passive leveling bonus. It's just, it is so good.
Yeah, it's so pretty good. Awesome.
Level 24, bartering reduces the price of items from all vendors by 10%.
Pretty nice.
Not
sort
bad.
Of like you're exalted, maybe, or honored, at least, with honored with everybody.
Yeah, that's actually a little less exciting, I feel like. You're not buying too much off of vendors, for the most part, are you?
Well, no, not really, but I mean, it doesn't really matter for, like, vials and stuff. That doesn't really matter. But when you're talking about your shoulder enchants, when you're talking about your helm enchants, it
right, I guess that's
translates
true.
Into a bit more savings.
Yeah. All right. And guild level 25, which is currently the max, is Mass Resurrection. Brings all dead party and raid members back to life with 35% health and 35% mana. Cannot be used while in combat. That does not look like it has a cooldown.
Nope.
So you can cast it after every wipe. That is such a tremendous boon.
Yep. Like, that is definitely worth being level 25 right there.
It's too bad that doesn't... We worked out an approximate date to get to that level, right?
April.
So, and we've been capping almost every day.
Yep. With any luck...
It could be before then, right? Because they pulled the cap off at 23, but... I guess it depends on how many bosses are being killed or quests that are being
done.
It
also depends on if your brother shows up and starts playing some more.
And beasts, that stuff.
Yeah, he was like the top guild contributor for, what, like a month and a half? Easy, before he went back to school?
Yeah, I don't know. That was pretty much amazing. I have no idea how he did that or what he was doing to put up those numbers, but it was insane.
Find out.
Yeah, that's a good call. I should find out what he was doing. So we can try and put it into full grind mode by the time we hit that guild level 23 or whatnot.
Yeah, for sure.
I guess after the guild, after you have up to your full level 25 of your guild experience, you can take a look at the guild rep, which every individual person has.
Yeah, like we were talking about before, everybody has to grind a rep with their guild. You start out neutral, you go through friendly, you go through honored, into revered, and you hit exalted. I'm not anywhere near exalted on any of my tunes, but I did hit, I finally hit revered on Madrana, I guess just by virtue of raiding, because I don't do a whole lot else with her. I mean, there are some perks that I'm now eligible for. I mean, we did the Kill Critter achievement, which was, what was it, 50,000?
50,000 critters. Critter Kill Squad.
Yeah, there you go. We did that. Oh,
by
God.
By we, you mostly mean not Toga. Either of us.
Toga, Pigly. Oh, gosh, who else is there?
I'm not sure. I was not, sadly, in on the whole thing. But we had a few very dedicated guild members who found a respawning... What was it? There was a respawning sheep. Or group of sheep.
And they've hotfixed it since. But but our guys, they truly enjoyed killing all of these sheep to get us the achievement to get the armadillo pet. And then we were all very, very, very sad when we realized the armadillo pet at the time required exalted guild rep. And none of us were, like, past friendly at the time.
Which takes forever to get to. I believe that I am 5 points from revered.
Wow.
Yes, 5 points.
Nice.
Or maybe 3. It's something
Go
like that.
Go run something.
Trying. Anyway. there's a bunch of different perks here or that you get with your guild rep. You have to be friendly for your guild page, which allows you to purchase other things, right?
Basically, yeah. It's like going to the guild vendor in Stormwinder, or I guess Orgrimmar.
Yeah, so it's a pet that you get at friendly. Also, a friendly, you can, if your guild gets the working as a team, which is 525 skill points in all professions, you get the Banner of Cooperation.
Oh, is that where we got that?
Yes. It places a guild battle standard and increases, what is it? Honor, experience, and reputation by 5%.
Yeah, from the Banner of Cooperation, right? And it lasts 2 minutes on a 10-minute cooldown.
Yes, and then the same thing.
We use them for kill shots, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Unless we use the Standard of Unity. I'm not sure what the difference is.
Have we done that one yet?
Yes, that is Guild Cataclysm Hero, where you just do a heroic of everyone, and that's friendly as well.
Sweet.
There's actually a battle standard of coordination, which does 15%. They actually do 5, 10, and 15, which only needs friendly as well, but you have to do a daily routine guild achievement.
15,000 daily quests?
15,000.
Are you kidding me?
I am not. That's what it has written here. So
what are we at? Okay, you keep talking. Let me go look.
I think we're actually between 8 and 10,000 or something.
Really?
We had a very significant number compared to what I would have figured. I would have said probably around 5,000, but I think we have way more than that.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up.
Okay. Some of the other rewards are straight, like, based off of how high your guild level is. For example, guild level 5, you can get the guild vault voucher for a 7 slot in your guild bank. Now, anybody can buy this for some reason.
Don't. Like, let your GM do it, and your GM has to do it on their GM tune.
Yeah, I don't know why they're letting anybody buy that or whatever the issue is. It probably should be corrected in case someone accidentally purchases this 7th slot for their, they believe is their bank or something. I have no idea, but it costs 10,000 gold.
Wow.
10,000. At guild level 10, you can buy the heirloom cloaks that give experience 5%. And at guild level 20 is where you can get, what are these, helms?
That give 10%.
Helms that give 10%. Does that stack on top of the cloaks?
And
the ring.
It'll stack on top of the ring from the fishing tournament that I've got. It'll stack on top of, well, for 1 to 80, it'll stack on top of the shoulders and chest. Yeah.
Interesting.
By the way, a daily routine apotheosis of Eldrathalus is at 14,217.
See, right? Isn't that surprising?
That's shocking. I don't really know how. Like, I never do my dailies. I feel like such a bad person. But wow, other people clearly are better people than me.
And
you be quiet.
Oh, I was saying better than me. Yes, you told me to be quiet. I'll take it. Some of the other ones, there's Stay Classy, complete the classy achievements where you have a class in every race, or...
Yeah, basically, like, all the different human classes, you know, at 85. All the different dwarves at 85.
But that gives you your eighth slot at 20,000 for the guild bank, so that's not something that's especially needed, necessarily.
That's something that'll happen with time, especially if everyone's as alt happy as we are. We currently have, like, 38 active members of Apotheosis and over 350 alts. Well, toons in the guild, basically.
I was about to say.
Which is something like 8.5 toons per person, which sounds about right.
Yep, pretty much. A little bit farther down, there's so a lot of these are honored, and you have guild achievements to get them. For example, catch 10,000 fish from fishing pools for that's a lot of bait to get the seafood magnifique feast.
Yes, which will give you 90 stam and 90 and another useful stat, which, by the way, for mages is no longer dodge.
Yes.
This is, for us, amazing. Like, we actually got this done before we started raiding for Cataclysm, and it was fantastic to be able to, like, walk in there on Tuesday, January 4th and just drop a feast on every boss pool. And that is what we've done for every single raid. And that, like, to me, that is something that a guild should be responsible for. I mean, if you have better food for yourself, I think you should use it. But if you don't, or if, you know, it's the equivalent as a fish feast, why not have the fish feast? So we do drop that.
Yeah.
And,
well, we have the broiled dragon feast as well, correct? 5,000 cataclysm recipes?
We do. But it's definitely 60.
Yeah. So it's the same thing, just not as good.
Like, for Kern, who I don't, like, raid with, I can cook and use the broiled dragon feast. So, you know, I'll drop that in a dungeon that I go on or whatever, rather than waste, you know, the better feast that I can make on Kern with the seafood one. So, yeah, I think it's handy to have them both, to be honest.
Yeah, it's definitely... It depends on if you're doing, like, a guild run, you know, then it's kind of nice to have.
Yeah.
But, yeah. After that, Mixmaster, create 1,000 Cataclysm flasks to get the Cauldron of Battle, which provides 7 flasks that give the same stats that the feast does, correct?
Well, no, it's the same stats that the flasks would give you. So, like, for intellect, it would give you 300 intellect, 300 strength, 300 agi, 300 stam. You know, all the major ones, except spirit.
Spirit's technically not a primary stat.
It's
which
not,
I assume is
but
why.
There is still a flask. So I don't understand why those flasks aren't required to make these cauldrons, and therefore we cannot get spirit from them.
Is there a spirit food as well?
Yeah.
And do healers find themselves using the spirit food or no?
Some of the healers do. I don't. I use intellect for my flask and my food, although I do keep spirit food and flasks on me just in case I run into some serious issues.
Gotcha. And I know at this point we've forgotten using the Cauldrons of Battle just because the mats and all that are kind of making it... It only makes 7 flasks, which is not enough for the raid. But once you get to better leveling through chemistry, which is 3,000 Cataclysm flasks, you get the big Cauldron of Battle, which is 17 uses instead of 7.
Yeah, and I think that would be, you know, basically worth our time along with the guild level 20. We still have a long ways to go, though. We are at 1748 out of 3,000, which is pretty sad.
Yeah, not quite there.
Nope.
Critter Kill Squad will give you the Armadillo Pup Pet, which, as Carm mentioned earlier, previously had an Exalted, but with the patch it dropped to Revered.
Yeah.
So we have people in the guild who have that now.
I do.
Yes, I do not, because Sucker. I am 3 rep away.
5 rep, aren't you?
5 rep, I don't know. United Nations, raise 55 reputations to Exalted, Honored, you get a Dark Phoenix Hatchling Pet.
We're at 49. I wonder where the missing 6 are.
I have no idea.
League of Arathor and Silverwing Sentinels. Oh God, want to buy Tank Dwarf and Hulk Dwarf.
Yeah, say Tank Dwarf and Hulk Dwarf. Get Seriously. Those Juicicars online because they are wonderful. Profit sharing to get the Guild Herald, which is a step above the Guild Page, which is loot 100,000 gold from creatures. For Guild Glory of the Cataclysm Raider, which is clear the three current raid instances with a guild group, you get the Reigns of the Dark Phoenix mount, which actually costs 3,000 gold. Which
we're actually not that far away from that.
Now we're four bosses.
Not bad. And we have profit sharing, by the way.
Oh, I saw. Everything that we've mentioned here has a corresponding amount of gold. The least that anything costs is 1,500, and things like the rep reward or the BOA experience boosters are anywhere from 12 to 1,500 gold. So
yeah, no, the,
these
the
things aren't necessarily...
The cheapest is 150, not 1,500.
Well, no, I was saying on the... Oh, the cheapest rewards are 150.
Yeah.
I was thinking the cloaks... Or the the cloaks are 1,200 and the BOA ones.
And yeah, and then the BOA helms are 1,500. Yeah, those are chunks, but you do keep them even if you do leave the guild.
Yeah, and the same thing with the Reigns of the Dark Phoenix, 3,000 gold for that. At guild level 25, you can purchase the Reigns of the Golden King.
Oh mount. God, it's so awesome looking! Wow.
And you need to be exalted with your guild as well.
Yeah.
And it costs 1,500 gold.
Yeah, but it's totally worth it. It's got your guild tabard on it, on like a flag, and on the side, the flanks of the lion or the scorpion or whatever. It looks gorgeous. It's sitting outside the guild vendor in Stormwind for the lion. I'm not sure about the scorpion, but it looks badass.
Awesome.
You're a horde sympathizer.
Yeah, yeah. Does that? It doesn't fly, does it? The lion flew. That would be awesome.
No.
So much for that. Scorpion would have been the way to go. Oh well.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different perks and rewards and stuff that you can get just by virtue of being in a guild. And maybe it is helping people to stay with the guild for longer than they normally would. In Wrath, you could just not be in a guild, and you could pug everything all of the time, and you didn't really need that sort of system. But I think that people are being a little more tolerant about guilds, because they don't want to re-rep up with a guild, and they don't want to lose some of the rewards. Like, if I were to leave the guild, which obviously isn't going to happen, I would lose the Seafood Magnifique Feast. I would lose the... I would lose the recipes.
I don't know about the recipes, unfortunately. I know that once you leave a guild for, I believe it's a certain amount of time, or maybe once you join a different guild, you lose all your rep with that guild,
that's
at least.
Heinous.
So, yeah, it's a good reason to stay with them, especially with a lot of these perks just being as good as they are.
Yeah, it's really good. There's a variety of them, as we mentioned, and a lot of them are good for alts, but a lot of them are good for mains too. So it really depends on what your focus is. But either way, being able to summon your entire party to a certain area, not a bad thing. Being able to mass res people, not a bad thing. A lot of it is quality of life stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of passive things that you'll start taking for advantage once you have it, and once you go to your alt guild or anything like that, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I don't have my extra run speed, or I don't have that guild going, the gold going to the guild bank. It's the little things.
Definitely. So it is definitely good to be guilded in this expansion.
Oh, yes.
All right, and I guess that about does it for this week. Let's move into our shout-outs. My shout-out this week is basically, and I sound like a bit of a broken record, but it's to our guildies, because without each and every one of them, our guild wouldn't be nearly as awesome as it is, both in terms of raid progression and guild progression. And so I feel bad. I can't believe that we've almost hit 15,000 daily quests, and I've really not contributed to that at all. So I will do my part. I promise to pull my weight. So props to you guys. Thanks.
Yeah, she'll make sure to do the last quest and then claim victory for the entire thing. Don't worry
about
it. Yes! So my shout-out this week goes to I was tanking on my paladin, a low level pug, and Mipple the DPS warrior. That's Mipple with an M. For coming in and dual wielding both the Hypnotic Blade and Fist of Stone, the Fist of Stone being a one-handed mace that procs a 50 mana restore, and it went very well with his int chest and shoulders. What a champion among them.
Champ status.
I guess with that, I'll give out our tip of the week. This week's tip is courtesy of Merkava, one of our guildies. If you're allergic to PvP, you can still easily get exalted with Baradin's Wardens through the daily quests. This zone does not flag you for PvP except during battles, and then only on the Southern Island, not the Peninsula.
Solid tip.
Yeah, exactly. It's very good for a lot of the rep rewards there. Pretty silly. We'd love to hear your tips of the week. If you have any you'd like to share or any feedback you might have, email us at podcast@blessingoffrost.com. Let us know what you thought. Give us some feedback of any kind. You can also follow Apotheosis and Kern on Twitter. Follow Apotheosis. It's at ApotheosisET and at KernMode for Kern over there. Leave comments and rate us on iTunes, because we like things like that.
We are still working out the iTunes bug. They still haven't really noticed that we've moved, so we will get that fixed up for you real quick.
Yeah, we have a contingency plan, so it will be fixed. So I guess that brings us to the end of our 10th episode. I'm Magic.
And I'm Kern.
Until next time, stay frosty.
Blessing of Frost is a non-for-profit World of Warcraft podcast by Kern and Magic, copyright 2011. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks to our guildie Numenal for the use of his voice in our intro, and thanks to you for listening.